like you to turn back, please, to Hebrews chapter 11, to that verse 7 that we read just earlier on. It is our text as such, although we will be also making reference to Genesis 6. We have entitled our message this morning, Faithful Noah. Faithful Noah. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence already with us this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for the meetings that are past. But, O God, how we need a fresh visitation from on high. We pray that thou wouldst come amongst us afresh this morning. Thou wouldst bless each weary heart. O God, we thank thee, Lord, if we have Jesus with everything. Lord, we thank thee for those this morning that are saved. And they can read their titles to mansions in the sky, but Lord, there are others, and we have no such assurance concerning them. We pray that thou might be pleased to speak with that voice above the preacher. O God, I pray for that fresh infilling of thy Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, that thou would anoint us with fresh oil from above, that we might preach us thus, and thus saith the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If there is one thing that this verse describes, then it must be the walk that Noah had with the Lord. He is found to be named amongst an illustrious company, and that for good reason. But before I go any further, what about your walk? Child of God in particular, what about your walk with God this morning? I'm conscious that in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are many concerns, and maybe even fears, and one of them has to do with those who profess the name of God in salvation. And in particular, there is a gauging of the daily walk that God's people have with the Lord. The prayer often that is heard concerning our young people is that the Lord would not only save them, but that he might cause them to go on with himself. But you know, men and women, that's a prayer for adults as well. That's a prayer that will be applicable for every soul. And when we come into this chapter, a chapter that is often described as the great hall of faith, it is no mistake in the order that we are brought to consider those that are mentioned. If you just think of the opening three persons, of Abel, of Enoch, and Noah, they were those who had the testimony that they pleased God. And of course it was Christ who was able to say, I do always those things that please Him. That is the benchmark that we each one ought to seek to attain to pleasing the Lord. But I draw your attention to the fact that Noah is seen to follow Enoch. And again, there is no coincidence there either. For these are the only two men in the Scriptures that you will read of that they walked with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not. For God took him. And in Genesis 6 we read even this morning that Noah also walked with God. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that every other child of God didn't walk with the Lord. But here are two men that singled out. And the Holy Ghost records of them particularly that they walked with God. And the sense of the term that is used of these two men is that they moved in the same direction in which God was moving. They did not run before the Lord, they kept a pace with Him, and neither did they lag behind, but they kept beside the Lord. God was with them every step of their journey. That surely is a testimony that every child of God would want to have. Not merely from men who see us, but from God, who from the very portals of heaven knows everything and sees all things. And as God has given us these examples of those who that sweet abiding communion with Him in their daily life, then surely it behoves us to pay attention to what is said of them. If you want to know what it is to walk with God and to be faithful, then look at these verses. And I trust that you are one who desires to have that same said in your own Christian life. We could do no better then than consider the faith of Noah, as we have it in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want you to consider first of all, and of course this thrusts us back into Genesis. Consider with me the circumstances that prevailed. Who was this man? Though of course we know from the children's stories books that he was the man that built the ark. But let's go back a little in his heritage. Who was he? He was the great grandson of Enoch. For Enoch begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech was Noah's father. And the name that Lamech was to give to his son was prophetic in itself. Every name, of course, has its meaning. Every name has its significance. And for Noah, it means rest. It means comfort. And that was the heart's desire of Lamech, that Noah, through his boy, there would be that comfort given to them in the midst of their toil and in the midst of their labor of the ground that God had cursed because of sin. But God was going to show them a greater rest. He was going to teach them through the purpose he had for Noah's life, the eternal rest that can only be found in Christ. An eternal rest through the one who has paid the curse, who became a curse so as to set his people free from the bondage and from the penalty of it. But it is needful for us to think of something of what prevailed in Noah's day. You see, I've heard the excuse offered that you cannot live for God in such a day and generation as we are in. You ever hear anybody say that? It's hard to live for God in our day and generation. Well, let's take a closer examination of Noah's day before we arrive at such an unfounded claim. There was the wickedness of man. I take you back to Genesis 6. You read the words of verse 5 again, as we have read. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That was the sort of day that Noah walked with God in. The human race could be described as being wicked, and as such it reveals the depraved nature of man's heart and of his being. Have you ever mused over the next phrase in that verse where it says, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually? You see the words there, every imagination. Behind that is the picture of the potter who takes the clay, the potter who conceives in his mind what it is going to be, and then he forms it into that shape. And so it was for man in Noah's day. Every imagination, every vision, every thought, every conception, every purpose, every plan and desire of his heart was only evil. And if that wasn't bad enough, it was the same day after day. We might suggest that there's nothing in Scripture or outside it which so graphically and overwhelmingly gives us what humanity was like at that time. And that was the day, men and women, in which Noah walked with God. That's the heavenly description that God gives to those who were his contemporaries. And while today we see the manifestation of the depravity of men, every week we see it. Yet we might suggest that these days are not days where the thoughts and imaginations and the actions of men are evil continually. Oh, they certainly are evil. And there are those that are given to it continually. But God's restraining hand and God's restraining grace means that they're not continually with everyone. You see also that the circumstances that prevailed were of having a witness of God's grace. While it grieved the heart of God that he made man on the earth, yet verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6 reminds us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in such a wicked day and generation, the Lord did not leave himself without a witness. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. It was but a small one that had appeared. And this was owing to the grace of God. His grace was to extend to Noah. And this man, whose name means rest, whose name means comfort, was to find it in the Lord God. He was favored with the grace of God. Because of that, he was accepted in God's sight. The grace he found was not on account of his own merit, but on account of the mercy of God. And that shows us, of course, that he was not without sin. Had he been so, then he would have stood in no need of the mercy or of the grace of God in order to save him. Noah did not find grace in the eyes of the world. He was despised and hated for what he stood for. But the important matter was that he found grace in the eyes of God. And let that be your ambition. In the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. In such an evil day, we are yet in the day of God's grace. None can frustrate the purpose of God according to election. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. I wonder, are you praying? Are you working with that in mind? That in such a day as we live in, that God might get down this church, that God's grace might be extended to the hearts of evil and wicked men. Turn them unto himself. You see also the circumstances where of the warnings of God. We have it intimated in the course of our text. Noah being warned of God, not of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. The patience of the thrice holy God had run its course now. The cup of its iniquity was now full. And so God warned that there was coming a judgment upon the earth. Genesis 6 verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That great destruction was coming whereby the earth would be flooded and all flesh would be destroyed. And this warning from God, it was given unto Noah that he might fulfill what God wanted him to do. Don't we read in Psalm 25 and 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The warnings that God gave unto Noah, he was to understand them. His faith in God gave him the conviction of the inevitability of his wrath being poured out in such a manner. Noah knew that what God warned was going to happen. There was a righteousness about it upon a wicked world. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Faith is to be exercised in the promises of God. But it also will believe in the threatenings of God. C.H. Spurgeon, who said this, that he who does not believe that God will punish sin will not believe God is able to pardon sin through the atoning blood. Just think about that. You know, men and women, he is the same righteous God today. He's the same God who still hates sin, hates wickedness. And yet in his grace and his mercy, he gives warnings. He gives warnings through his servants unto all who will hear his word. It is, however, what men and women and young people do with those warnings in such a day as this that is the important matter. What are you going to do with his word again this morning? circumstances that prevailed. I want you to see, however, secondly, the challenge that was posed for having considered little of the sort of day that Noah lived in. That in itself was to pose a challenge. And the challenge that faced him was one of preparing an ark. That was the message that God was to give unto him in the words of Genesis 6. And our text this morning gives us the motivation of him obeying that command and setting about the preparing of the ark. Look at it. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He moved with fear. That's not the slavish fear of this world. That's not the careless fear that has the attitude, if it's going to happen, then there's nothing I can do about it anyway. It was a fear of a man who had a reverence for God. It was a fear of his judgment being poured out on such a world. It was a fear of his holiness being exacting revenge on the wickedness that abounded. You see how everything is linked back to his faith in his God. His faith gave birth to this godly reverential fear. His faith caused him to be obedient to the challenge of preparing the ark. God had given him the dimensions, the very plans of how the ark should be constructed, and the challenge was for Noah to build that ark. Saving faith is never passive. Saving faith never leads to inactivity. Saving faith always leads to action that complements our profession. And Noah believed God. He had faith in God. That's why he obeyed the command to build the ark. That's why he had a reverential fear. Though the things to come were not yet seen, bear in mind there wasn't a cloud seen in the sky. There's no sea where Noah was dwelling. Maybe not. It wasn't even a river. And yet the challenge for him was to prepare this ark, an ark that would be a seafaring vessel. How would it ever be floated? The challenge posed wasn't one of the easiest jobs in the world. It was one which was met readily with the rejection of man. The challenge of preparing that ark. But moreover, the challenge posed was to the preacher himself, for that is how Noah is described in 2 Peter. He was a preacher of righteousness. And Christ has made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Noah preached the righteousness of God. He is a sin-hating God. He is a God who will do what he says. His justice will punish sin and iniquity, and yet he is a long-suffering God who calls men to repent. You don't believe that God is a sin-hating God? You don't believe that his justice will punish sin? Then look, my friend, at Calvary. Look at the cross. And that he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, that speaks of his love, but he gave him that he might satisfy divine justice, and God's wrath was poured out upon his only begotten as he died there as a sinner substitute. And as Noah preached and as he built, the challenge was no less so, for he was a preacher in such an evil and wicked day who was to see little fruit for his labor. We know at the end of his ministry there, they went into the ark, that the congregation consisted of 7 other people. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He was a preacher who saw his family see it. And he's no fool. He saw his family safely gathered into the ark, separated from that old world and from the judgment of God meted out upon it. But I also agree with Spurgeon, whereby he suggests that Noah could have seen other souls saved under his ministry. Have you ever thought of that or not? There could have been others who were to repent of their sin and turn from their wicked ways, and yet they were to die before the deluge came. no matter how few or many there were. And surely that reminds us, it's not numbers that's the important thing. The challenge was for Noah to preach on. To preach what he believed was the Word of God. And by the way, he hadn't got a large part of God's Word like you and I have. We have the complete canon this morning. But what he had was sufficient. He believed in the seed of the woman who would come forth to bruise the head of the serpent, Genesis 3. He believed that the means of approach unto God was by the shed blood in the way and manner in which Abel was to be acceptable before God. Genesis 4. Noah believed in the revealed Word of God to his heart, and so he preached it in season and out of season, Genesis 5, 6. He preached and warned of a coming judgment that had no signs of appearing, and the challenge was all the more difficult when his congregation was not increasing. There was just a few who responded. There were just a few who were saved. The challenge posed was with the people themselves. There's no indication that the workers who may have helped Noah and his sons were to accept his message. Those who helped them build that ark. But then the same could be said of many today. It could be, I don't know. I don't know this. But it could be there are those in the congregation this morning, and you helped in the building of this church. You helped in the furnishing of it. You put your hand to the plow of that work 45, 6, 7 years ago, and you caused it to be prepared for the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Yet it could be you're still not saved. Were those in Noah's day, and they had not heeded the word. And the people of Noah's day, we have seen, were wicked continually. They had no concern for their own well-being before a holy God. There was an apathy among them. There was carelessness. There was unbelief. That was the people that Noah preached unto. I can almost hear them despise the man of God. I can almost hear them reject his claims. I can hear them ridicule him and scorn him at what he was doing. But by faith he stuck to what God had commanded him to do. He turned not to the left nor to the right hand. And how the people responded to the message of Noah, I have confirmed to me in what the Savior was to say. You turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 24 in the words of verse 38. The Lord here is speaking about His second coming in the last days. I think it is important that you read in the words of verse 37. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days, here's the explanation if you like. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Everything, in other words, just went on as normal with the people. They might have said, business as usual. On the ordinary level, they believed they were progressing, but yet their heart was still evil continually. How the words of Isaiah 53 in verse 1 seem so applicable, for it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The preacher could have said that. Lord, who hath believed the message? Whom has thine arm been extended and revealed to? I suggest to you the challenge is just the same today. As the ark is preached, as the preacher warns, as the preacher points out the way of salvation, yet how many people just go on the way they're going, heedless, careless, fulfilling the word of that proverb, there is a way that seemeth right unto men, the end thereof are the ways of death. Does the word come with challenge to your heart this morning? I want you to see finally the condemnation that was personal. The Bible skeptic would have said of Noah that there was a man who has the God delusion. 120 years building an ark. 120 years preaching a holy and a righteous God. 120 years and no converts remaining outside his family. 120 years preaching of a coming judgment, yet there's no flood, there's no cloud in the sky. I can hear them say, where is the promise of his coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That man is deluded. Dear people, not according to our text. For God says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All who were outside the ark were condemned. While you are saved in this house, what a joy it is for any preacher, aye indeed any parent, to know that their children walk in truth. I wonder, father and mother, are you praying for your children to that end? While he saw the ark finished, and while he prepared for that ark for the saving of his house, the rest of mankind were condemned to perish in that flood. They condemned old Noah. They laughed at him. They scorned him. But he was their condemnation when the rains came. And that boat made in dry land was to be floated upon the waters. And as the unbelieving world would have tried to run for safety, and as they tried to scramble up the mountains, the preaching of Noah condemned them. For he faithfully warned them of the holiness and of the righteousness and of the judgment of God that was coming. He told them the truth. They knew the way of salvation. They were pointed to the way of security and safety, but they stubbornly refused to run into it. They would not heed his warnings. They would not come that they might have life. They were condemned by his preaching. They were condemned by his practice. He was a man who didn't walk as others walked. His principal God was not eating and drinking and getting on in life. His life stood out as being separated, as being different, as being one who walked in obedience with God. I asked at the start, how is your walk with God this morning? Is your walk, child of God, so integrated with this world that the worldling and the ungodly and the unbeliever don't see any difference? Or are you one that's walking by faith and you stand out, separated unto God's word? Noah's walk was different. Noah believed God even though it meant believing in what it seemed impossible. And I tell you now that the rains have come and the waters are moving up their bodies and there's nowhere to flee. The life of Noah condemned them. That was the man that preached to us. That was the man that told us what was happening, going to take place. This principle of faith condemned them. By faith, Noah prepared the ark. He believed God. He believed that there was a great destruction coming. He believed that the only means of safety was in that ark. And now with that door been shut and unable to be opened again, for God shut him in, the people saw that ark floating on the waters, and every sight of it they were condemned. The ark condemned them most of all. They had opportunity to get into it, but their day was now gone. preacher couldn't help them anymore. They would gladly now heed his warnings. But alas, it is too late. Just one man condemned multitudes of people. And I read John 3:18 to bring it over into the New Testament context. He that believeth in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Just one man. How is it with you in Christ this morning? You either believe in him to your salvation of your soul, or else you're condemned already this morning. Is he yet despised and rejected and scorned by you? The one who in obedience to the Father's will was to go to Calvary, turning not to the left nor to the right. The one who obediently laid down his life, even the death of the cross. What does it mean to you this morning that the only begotten Son of God was nailed yonder to that Roman gibbet? Oh, dear soul, realize that he is your only hope, just one man. Not a church, not a denomination, not a set of rules. Just one man. He is that ark of safety against the greater judgment that is to come. We have seen in Matthew chapter 25 that the Lord likens his return to the days of Noah. Are you in that refuge? The world is not going to be judged with a flood again. Every time you see the rainbow on the cloud, that reminds you of that. But there's a coming a greater judgment, that this whole world shall be wrapped up and shall be no more. Lord is coming back for his own redeemed. Let me ask you this morning, are you in the ark? You can be in the ark only by faith. That's how you're saved this morning. And there's just one ark, and there's just one door into the ark. And that ark was covered the same in the outside as it was in the inside. It was covered with a pitch. Oh, my friend, this morning, are you sheltering neath the ark? Are you sheltering neath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder, will you become an heir to God's righteousness this morning? Will you seek Christ and be saved? God help you to do so. For God's people, may we be those who walk by faith and be faithful just as Noah was. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. 164, we're going to sing in closing, please. 164, when Jesus comes to reward his servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to him will he find us watching, with our lamps all trimmed and bright. 164, let's stand as we worship, please. thank the
Lord. By faith Noah prepared the ark. O God, we bless thee for his obedience. We thank the Lord he was one who found grace in the eyes of the Lord in such a wicked and evil day. We ask, Lord, for thy children, that, Lord, thou would help us to walk aright before others and to walk aright in thy sight. O Lord, we pray for those this morning yet without Christ. We pray even these words would burn into their heart. Lord, there are those that are not ready for the Lord's return. They're not ready to meet death. We ask, Lord, thy grace will be extended to them even this morning. We'll close in with thine offer of mercy. O Lord, part us with thy mercy and thy fear. Give journey of mercies. Give us a blessed Sabbath today. Lord, may the tide of blessing rise. May the best yet to come. We ask these things and receive your precious name.